Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another radio broadcast. We're so glad to have you all with us here today, and we are excited about the Word today, looking forward to what God's going to do. And so this is my first Sunday with you for the new year, and I'm looking forward to another year of the Word and us being together on the radio, on Facebook Live, everywhere that you're listening. I want to get started today so we don't run out of time. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners from Florida State Prison, from Baker County Correctional Institution, from everywhere listening live on the website, around the world, wherever you are. Thank you so much for tuning in. Just want to remind you that you are welcome at all times to email us, brotherdavidontheair@gmail.com, or you can call or write in, or you can leave a comment on Facebook, any way that you'd like to do that. And I see those. Thank you so much for commenting and for leaving those comments there. It means a lot to us. So thank you so much. We're going to get started this morning in the Word. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading several different scriptures. But I want to read out of 2 Timothy first, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to start reading here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. 2 Timothy 4 and 1. I talked about some of this last night at the prison, those inmates there, and I just feel it on my heart again this morning. So I'm just going to continue on where I left off there, all right? 2 Timothy, I know some of y'all are hearing this for the first time, so that won't matter. But I'd like to say that in case, you know, some of the guys out there are wondering why I'm repeating myself. But so just the way we're going to go today, all right? So let's get in here and hear the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. I'm going to stop reading there for just a moment. We're going to talk about this verse number 10 here. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Now, this verse has kind of weighed heavy on me for a little while now, thinking about this. And when the Lord lays something on my heart, he leads me to a scripture. When it kind of lingers like that, I dwell on it, and I'm wondering, what is God trying to say? What is he trying to bring out to me to share with the different folks where I go? And this is the message that God's given me for the hour. And so I want you to listen intently this morning. Demas was a servant, a follower with Paul in the ministry of Paul. We don't know a lot about Demas. We don't really know his position. We don't really know a lot of his history. But we do know that Demas was a follower of Christ. We do know that he was in the ministry of Paul. And if it had not been significant, Paul would not have needed to mention that Demas had departed. He had forsaken him. Now, it's interesting that he used the word forsaken here, which means abandoned or deserted. This was not a parting, a friendly parting of ways. This was not a planned a retirement. Demas just left. The ministry of Paul, as we know, was so powerful and he accomplished so much for Christ, and he was such a man of God, a man filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I think about in my day, all the preachers that I have had the pleasure of serving in with ministry, most of them upstanding men of God, most of them wonderful people of God that I have learned so much from. But I think about all the things that I've seen in my life from men of God that I have observed, and the miracles and the times in prayer and their upstanding character, and how that you get around people like that and you're drawn to them and you just want to be in their presence. You just want to glean from them and you just want to be like them. You fashion yourself to be like the person that you are mentoring under. And so I think about this, and it's so devastating to me to know that after being in the ministry of Paul and being around that type of a person, the type of man of God that Paul was, after his transformation on that Damascus road, he knew who he used to be. He knew what happened to him. He knew he had an encounter with Christ. He knew he was a transformed man, and he became a pillar of the New Testament church, taking the gospel to the Gentiles. He became such a vital part of the church, and for Demas to have forsaken him, it's devastating to me. I don't know why, I just can't shake that. But the Bible said, Demas has forsaken me, and it gives the reason, having loved this present world. There was a pull on the heart of Demas. There was a draw to him that took him away from the gospel ministry of Paul. Now, we think about today in the times that we are living in, there is such a drawing away of people from the faith today. There's such a pulling from the world to get folks to try to turn around from their beliefs. Now, we see this all the time. It's happening more and more in the church world today, and I see it, and it's devastating to us. It's completely heartbreaking to watch people that you love and people that you have served God with and folks that you've gone to church with and you've grown up with, turn and walk away and forsake the gospel of Jesus Christ, to watch folks that you've known for a long time hold up the standard and live this life and then turn and walk away. It's heartbreaking. It's emotionally traumatic to us to see that happen. It wounds us. It injures us. But more than that, how do we think it makes the Lord feel whenever folks that he is saved, and whenever people that Jesus died for turn around and forsake him in the same manner? Now, for Demas to have turned away and forsaken Paul and the ministry and departed, it tells me that there was a tug of war in the heart of Demas, because Paul made mention that he loved the present world. Now, in the Bible, when we talk about the love of the world, the things of the world, we're always talking about sin, the sin nature, sin lifestyle, temptations, all the things of the world, of the old nature that we were saved from. It had a pull on Demas's heart. It had a pull in his mind, in his life, and it was something that he could not shake. Now, I gave this example last night. I'll use it again. Forgive me if you guys are listening out there. Forgive me for repeating myself, but I must bring this out. I use the example of when I met my wife. It was not love at first sight. A lot of people say, oh, it was just love at first sight. I just saw her and I knew that was it. Well, I fell in love with my wife, but over time, us being together and spending time in each other's company and being acquainted with one another and eating meals with one another and having discussions with one another and sharing our interests and sharing our dreams and sharing our views on things. You fall into love with someone because of the amount of time and energy that you devote to the relationship. Now, sometimes it takes longer for others, and sometimes it's quicker for others. It took a little while, but I'll tell you this. I did not just walk up to my wife before we were married, before we started dating, and just say, hey, I love you, let's get married. She would have thought I was a crazy person. That's just not how we do things. Because there is a process we go through where we fall in love with someone. Our hearts become knit together. Our emotions become linked. We love each other completely and totally. And we remain in a state of love for one another. And that's how it is. I want to tell you this morning that Demas did not just fall in love with the world overnight. He did not wake up one morning and say, I want to forsake Paul and all of these things that I've been involved in, and I want to fall away from the ministry of Paul, and I want to go out into the world, and I want to do my own thing. Demas did not make that decision overnight. That was not something that just happened one morning. I want to tell you, for Paul to make mention that Demas loved this present world, he had been neglecting his spiritual life for some time. There had been a tug of war in his heart, in his mind, a struggle to whether what God he was going to serve for some time. It was a process of falling in love. There was a courtship between Demas and this present world. Today in the church, there is a pulling on the heart of the believer from the world, and it's a wooing, and it's trying to pursue those ones who are weak spiritually, weak in the faith, who have neglected their prayer closet, those ones who have neglected the word of God, those ones who have not been faithful to the house of God. It weakens your spiritual condition, and after a while, you begin to lower your guard down, you begin to entertain the things that the enemy brings in and introduces to your heart. Things that you used to not want to entertain. Things that you would used to not give any second thought to. Things that used to would not tempt you. You began to entertain those things, and after a while there begins to be a courtship there. You're not full on married to them. You're not in love with them yet, but you entertain them. Then you begin to start giving your time to some of them. And you begin to start giving some of your attention to some of them. You begin to fix yourself up a little better for this sin or for that sin. You begin to entertain the lust of the flesh. You may not partake in it yet. You may not actually physically fulfill that thing that's in your mind, but you no longer cast those things out of your imagination. You no longer look over sin. You no longer stay away from sin. You no longer want to separate yourself from the world, but you begin to entertain the thoughts in your mind. And it all starts with a thought. It all starts with an idea. It all starts with a little attention to some idea or some feeling on the inside. That's how it started, my friend. Listen, when we fall in love with our spouse, it starts with them giving us a little attention. I remember the way my wife used to look at me whenever I'd walk up the sidewalk to church. I remember the smile on her face, and it got my attention. And I thought to myself, she's giving attention to me. She must be interested in me. And I began to talk to her, and I found out that that was the truth. And I was interested in her. And over time, we began to fall in love with each other after a relationship established, after we began to show each other how much we cared, after we began to be close to one another. But listen to me, it's a relationship that takes time and a process, and in the same manner the enemy is trying to woo the church to fall in love with this present world. Demas has forsaken me because he has loved this present world. Paul did not say because he was enticed by the world. Paul did not say because he was tempted by the world. Paul said he loved this present world. My friends, today, we cannot afford to give any attention or any of our time or resources to a fleeting moment of sin for a season. We have no time. It's of vital importance that we tune out everything that the devil would try to put in our mind to lure us away from a lifestyle of holiness living from a lifestyle of sanctification, from a lifestyle that is submitted and totally sold out to God. I'm going to tell you why. Because the first time you begin to entertain one little thought, the first time you begin to give attention to one little thing, a relationship starts to grow, a relationship starts to blossom, and you will eventually lose your sense of consciousness about what is right and wrong. It'll lose its appeal to you to stay separate from the world. It'll lose its appeal to you to be different than the rest of the world. Why? Because you've got a new love in your life. You've got something in your heart now that you're invested in. You have a new love interest, and it takes all of your time. I could tell you, after a while, I knew that I wanted to marry my wife, and I was over at her house every single night on her mom and daddy's couch. It didn't matter if we were sitting there talking to them. It didn't matter if we were eating dinner. It didn't matter if we were all just staring at the wall. I just wanted to be in the living room with her. Why? Because I loved her. Because my heart was fixed on her. It's the same way whenever we begin to entertain sin in our life. After a while, it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if we even enjoy it anymore or not. We love the thing that has consumed us, and we just want to be alone with our sin. I believe in my heart that Demas walked away from God. He walked away from Paul because he had allowed sin into his heart. And after a while, he began to love this present world more than he loved God. It sounds like it's like a dramatic thing, but I'm telling you, it happens every single day in the church world. We're losing people right and left out of the Pentecostal movement, out of the Baptist church, out of the Mormon, Presbyterian, all across the board. Now, I don't agree with every denomination, and I'm not condoning, but I'm telling you, from religion in general, there is a vast falling away taking place. From the Pentecostal church, which I am a part of, we are seeing a falling away from the faith like I have never seen in all of my life. Folks, I have seen them on fire for God. Folks that I knew I had confidence in that could call down fire from heaven and the Holy Ghost of God would move. I have witnessed them pray and intercede. I have seen them lay hands on the sick. I have seen them live a lifestyle that is sanctified and set apart to God. But the love of this present world would not let go of them. And because they failed to separate themselves, they failed to turn away and submit to God through prayer and love this word and love God more than anything. The commandment says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Listen to me. There's a reason that it's the greatest commandment. There's a reason why God wants our attention. There's a reason why he's a jealous God. There's a reason why he demands our loyalty, because the devil is out seeking whom he may devour. There is another love interest in the life of those who have fallen away. He's out there pursuing. He's out there luring everything that he can. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't never seen nobody comb their hair and slick it back like a boy who's trying to find him a girlfriend. You ain't never seen nobody put on cologne and tuck his shirt in and iron his britches and shine his shoes, wax his car like somebody going out trying to find him a wife. I'm telling you, you ain't never seen nobody use a can of hairspray like a lady that's going out trying to beautify herself because she wants to find a love interest. You ain't never seen nobody put on a lovely dress. These ladies look so beautiful and wear this beautiful smelling perfume. You ain't never seen nobody clean up as good as somebody going out trying to find a love interest. I want to tell you that the devil, as a wolf in sheep's clothing has made himself look so appealing to you. He's made himself look so attractive to you. And you don't even realize, Demas, that you've been courting the very one who is the enemy of your soul. You've been courting the very one who is out to destroy you. And today your love interest, your affection is misplaced in him. I want to tell you that he's lured too many away from the church, and it's time that we shake ourselves and we take evaluation of our heart and say, who am I giving my affection to? Who is it that I'm serving? Who is it that sits on the throne of my heart? For too long, we have forsaken the prayer closet. We've forsaken our love of the Word of God. We've forsaken our love of the house of God. How is that so? I know, because you walk in on a Wednesday night and look at the crowd, and you can see that the love of this world has taken the church by storm. You can see that the love of this world has drawn them away. You can't pay people to attend a church service. You can't pay folks to attend a revival. It's not a reflection on the church building, because the pews don't cause you to do that. It's the people in the church. We have lost our first love. We've forsaken him. Demas has forsaken me because he loved this present world. My God, it's happening today, and we don't even realize it. I could tell you story after story of folks that have walked away from God. They have given in, and they've been seduced by this present world. They've been seduced by the enemy. He's made it look so attractive. He's made it look so easy. He's made it look like it'd be such a great decision to make. But in the end, it's full of pain. It's full of sorrow. It's a tough way to go. The Bible said that the way of a transgressor is hard. It's not an easy lifestyle to live. The devil makes it look so appealing. He makes it look so liberating. If you just do this, just come on out here and serve me. There's no rules. There's no this or that. Live like you want to. But my friends, the only freedom that you will know is the freedom of serving God. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Listen to me today. It's a life of bondage to serve Satan. It's a life of torment. It's a life of destruction. The wages of that sin, my friend, is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. There is no life outside of Christ today. Demas has forsaken me. Why, Demas? What'd you trade? I would fear today. I'm not going to get to the rest of these notes because I want to stay right here on this point for a moment. I fear today that a lot of folks who have negotiated deals with the enemy, a lot of folks who have fallen in love with this present world, they are going to wake up one morning and realize they've made the worst deal of their life. They've made the most unfair deal of their lifetime, and it'll be too late because he's already got you, friend. But I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to stay in that situation. You don't have to stay in that lifestyle. You don't have to stay in the bed with Satan. You don't have to live a life of courtship to him. He don't own you today. But there is one who died to set you free. There is one who came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He is the lover of your soul. He's not a courter. He's not someone that wants to come in, a suitor to find somebody to just use for a little while like the devil does. He is the lover of your soul. He is the one who breathed the breath of life into your nostrils. He's the one who sent his son to die for you on Calvary. He loves you with a love that you cannot imagine today. And his name is God. His name is Jesus. His son came to die for you, sent to die on Calvary so you could have eternal life today. And he loves you more than you can comprehend. Now, there is a life of freedom. There is a life of deliverance. And you may say, well, I've given my heart to the devil. I've lived my life serving him for so long now. Well, I want to tell you that there is freedom in Jesus today. He is a chain breaker. He is a peacemaker. He is a healer. He is a deliverer from everything that has you bound, everything you've gotten yourself involved in, every sin that's gotten you entangled. Jesus came to set you free. I came on this radio to tell somebody today in Jacksonville, Florida, in Northeast Florida, all around this world where you're listening, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It doesn't matter how you got lost. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter if you turned and walked away. It doesn't matter if you've never been born again. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're slipping today. Jesus died to seek and to save that which was lost. He's here today. Jesus is alive. He's for you. He's calling to you, and he wants to set you free. I know a lot of church members that need to be set free today. I know a lot of folks that sit on the church pews on Sunday mornings, and they're just as lost and just as bound as anybody else out there on a bar stool. I know folks today that have forsaken God in their heart. They have grown cold in their heart. And even though they show up and there is an external vision of what a saved person would look like, even though there is an outward facade, on the inside they're full of dead men's bones because they have forsaken their first love, and they've fallen in love with this present world, and the result is a lifestyle that is cold and indifferent towards God. But today he wants to send the fire. He wants to send the Holy Ghost. Jesus wants to send the Comforter. Today, my friend, there is hope. You may have been lost for a long time. You may not have never been born again. You may not even know what it's about. Well, I came to tell you some good news today. Jesus died to set you free. Jesus died to save you from your sin. He died to deliver you from whatever drug addiction you find yourself in. He died to deliver you from alcoholism. He died to deliver you from homosexuality. He died to deliver you from lying, from cheating, from gambling. He died to bring you out of sin and into this marvelous light. He died to make you free. He died for your sin today. His name is Jesus. My God, he wants to save somebody. He wants to deliver somebody. The lover of your soul is pursuing you today. Jesus is pursuing us today. If we could just feel his love, if we could just feel his power. Do you remember what it was like? Maybe some of you have fallen away. Maybe some of you have grown cold. Do you remember what it was like when Jesus saved you? Do you remember what it felt like when you first felt the load of sin lift off of you? Do you remember how in love you were with Christ? You wanted to do like the woman at the well and go back and tell everybody. You wanted to go back and make sure that everybody knew. You wanted to go tell everyone what Jesus had done for you. When is the last time you had that type of an excitement about serving God? Let me ask you in contrast, when's the last time you got up and hooped and hollered over your favorite team winning something? When's the last time you went to a little league game and you was the loudest parent out there? My friend, what we love in our heart, it shows as an outward expression by our actions. Do we love Jesus like we used to love him? Is he first in our life? Does he sit on the throne and rule our hearts? Is he God of all? Is he Lord of all? Because, friend, I say it all the time, but he will not share a house with anything else. God's not going to live in no duplex in your heart. He's not going to rent a room out to the enemy and share your residence with him. God's going to be the only tenant. He's going to occupy the premises and him alone. He's not going to share his glory with anybody. I've got 1 minute left, and I've got to take it to show you and to plead with you this morning that Jesus loves you. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to make it to heaven today. It is his one goal that you make it to heaven's gates, and that he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in unto the joy of the Lord. My God, somebody, he wants to save you. Have you fallen out of love with Jesus? This would be a good Sunday to find an altar. Get to a church, a powerful, spirit-filled church, and let God change you. I love you. I'm praying for all of you. Get to God's house this Sunday. Let's make 2019 a year of recommitment to God. I love you, and God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord today. God bless.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.